Welcome to My Creative Corner 3, a podcast about quilting, crafting, creativity, with a dash of garden, chatting about current interests and life in my northern town. You can find show notes at mycreativecorner3.com. You can also find all of my social media, how to purchase a virtual cup of coffee, and all events on the website. Please feel free to stop by and leave a comment. I really appreciate everyone who listens. Thanks for stopping by. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, everyone. It is March 16th, 2024, the eve of St. Patrick's Day. It seems like nobody is celebrating or into it this year, probably because it's on a Sunday, but I heard the sound of the St. Patrick's Day parade earlier this morning. So at least there were some revelers. I was still in my pajamas and cleaning up the house and trying to get a few things done. I just had a slow start this morning. But I turned on some traditional Irish music, and it's been a great day. A little bit cloudy, a little bit gray, but it's not snowing, and it's been warm. All the snow is gone. I just can't believe it. We're definitely behind on the seasonal snowfall, probably by 40 inches or so. Not going to complain about it. It is what it is, and these are things that just happen periodically, and this is the warmest temperatures ever recorded if you keep reading the news. So I was able to go check out the garden because I'm like, I thought I saw a little bit of green back there. And sure enough, the poppies and the iris have started to grow. I'm not too worried if they get snowed on tomorrow. We might get a flurry or two according to the forecast. But it should be above freezing most nights. But I've left those plants back there for better part of 20 years, and they have survived many early sprout and snow on them, and then they just come right on back and bloom. The poppies tend to bloom, I want to say, early in the season, so maybe I'll see what day they bloom this year and compare it to the photos last year, just to see if there is any difference. I know I'm a nerd. I really like to check on these things. Like, what does it matter? Nature does these things. But it's too early to plan on cleaning it up back there. We need to rake all the leaves that have fallen over the winter and pick up some debris and trash and all of the things. But we typically don't get that done until the end of April, beginning of May, and hopefully we'll be able to do that early this year. It's just kind of that brown, dull time of the year in the spring. We are definitely getting more daylight hours, and it feels great, but I just need to get the winter grossness cleaned up off the yard, and my husband will help with that. A few little spring projects we have to do besides the annual gardening. One of the little boards, I think it's called a fascia board, on a soffit outside that goes underneath when your roof overhangs the wall. Well, the wind and age, because that little metal piece of trim is probably, I'm not going to lie, 35, 40 years old. And so somehow or another, I heard birds. Yes, those little starlings got up in there and started to make a nest. Now, they have since abandoned it because I think it's just way too cold. When the wind blows, it faces west and it gets way too hot in the afternoon. My husband got the tallest ladder we had. My house is very old and very tall, with a lot of tall ceilings, and it almost reached. But we together decided that it's got to be fixed properly, and we're going to have to rent some sort of a lift or scaffolding or something to get up there and properly fix it. So he's pretty handy with that stuff, but he and I both went the ladder, was like, yeah, this is not a good idea. So I held the ladder. He climbed it and still could barely reach it, but it needs some work. Everything needs work in the spring, doesn't it? I need to clean the windows. I need to do all kinds of things. But I am implementing my 10 minutes at a time approach. It doesn't have to all be done in one day. I don't have to clean all the windows in one day, just one at a time. I'm doing the same with exercise. And if you remember the last podcast, I've been able to do a little bit more exercise, but 10 minutes, that's about it. And I'm pretty happy with that. Sometimes I can row a time or two a week. It still tires me, but I'm doing it and doing other walking in place types of exercises and a little bit of hand weights. And all of that to say it's very slow progress in getting my strength back and keeping all of my body feeling healthy. Long COVID's no joke, and it's been long. Let me tell you, it will be 2 years this May since I first came down with COVID, and I had another round last fall, if you'll remember. So it's just felt like a slow, steady pace over the winter just to get to this point. But the good news is I've been doing the healthy living with a little bit of health coaching from Livongo, and I'm down 10 pounds, which is a great start. I'm very excited. Thought we'd celebrate together. Woohoo! Yay! A little bit of a start is always a good thing. Got a ways to go, but we'll take every 5 to 10 pounds as they come off, for real. And that's just really helping me to see that, you know, really it's all about these daily little incremental changes, as we know works. And then I got going because I was kind of getting a little bummed that I wasn't getting my decluttering and cleaning and all of that business done really quickly. But 2 boxes went out to Goodwill over the last week. I cleaned out all of the old kitchen glasses and tumblers in the cupboards. And I bought a set because the old ones were just really etched and stained and really too heavy and clunky for what we needed. I found a great deal on some really nice glasses at Meijer and cleaned out the glasses. I looked at the coffee mugs again. I keep thinning them down to the ones that I really like and keep sending them to the Goodwill. And anything else that can go in there, like I put a jacket and a couple of other little knickknack things that I didn't want anymore into the box, and off they went. So if I do that, you know, a few times a month, it will definitely make a dent in my goal of getting rid of all the extra stuff that I don't need. And spring cleanup, I sure hope, is happening. That's our once a year citywide cleanup. If you take it to the curb and one man can lift it, and it's within the rules of the spring cleanup, this is junk, not garbage. And then we have other pickups for debris and leaves and limbs and all that kind of stuff. So the junk pickup is coming soon. I call it junk. You know, things that are not recyclable, things that are not something that you can take to Goodwill. But if you put it to the side of the road during that week, most people who are collectors or scrappers will come and take things. Like, we've got rid of washing machines, dishwashers that were in need of repair, but we had to get a new one because I couldn't find anyone to fix it, type of a thing. We've gotten rid of a lot of things that way. So overall, it's that time of year and I'm staging the things to go out. It always feels worse though before it gets better. You know, you start feeling cluttered with all of the stuff. But yeah, I have boxes of clothes that don't fit anymore and all that kind of stuff. And these are things that are not going to go to Goodwill. They are just rags. And I think I'm going to stuff some old suitcases. Things, we've got new ones, and some broken suitcases or things that are 20, 30 years old that, you know, suitcases that could be stuffed with junk. That's going to go to the road. It's going to be a systematic thing. How did this become such a project? I don't know. You know, you just save things over time just because, and then, you know, the kids have moved out and I'm really excited. We're going to go see my daughter and grandchildren and her husband here in a couple weeks, and we're driving and we're going to take a bunch of stuff. I've found most of the things, including the wedding dress that was in a closet that needs to be cleaned out. Whoa, baby. It's behind the long arm, so it's really dusty. But my husband found that in her bouquet, and she found her veil. And now I just got to get a couple more boxes gone through and another closet upstairs in her old bedroom. And then we will have that car stuffed of things that she would like to keep. And I'm just going to keep taking it down there. Every trip we go, if I take a couple more boxes, this one should be a big load because it's going to have the dresses from prom and her wedding dress. And she took a bunch of toys last year when we saw each other. So it's coming along. It's coming along. My whole goal, if you remember, is to start downsizing now because I am going to talk to the retirement person this next week and see if I am on track to retire a little bit before 65. Of course, this is pending insurance being affordable because we'll have to buy insurance. So if I'm going to retire in 4 to 6 years, that would make me between 62 and 64. Well, then I need to chat with him to see if we're on track for that. And then that made me get woken up real quick. Didn't, wow. I'm like, I got to get this stuff cleaned up. I've got to get it thinned out, and I'm not getting any younger, and it's not getting any easier the older I get. So I'm on a 5-year plan of getting ready for retirement because I think we're going to need to move from this house in retirement to a Asian place home. That is our long-term plan if the housing market cooperates. Otherwise, we have a plan B to get a main floor laundry. So question to podcast listeners, have any of you bought one of those washer dryer units or all in one where it washes it and you don't take it out, but by, I believe, condensation, it dries your clothes? I've heard that they're expensive and they're not very good, but I'm thinking, well, if I can get a one piece unit in one of two spaces in this house, we could make it work if moving is not affordable at that time. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on an all-in-one unit if you have one. I see the prices are starting to come down a little bit, and I think in other countries that they may use this type of unit more than we do. So anyway, I'd love to hear what your experience is about it. I can hang clothes up inside if they need to dry a little bit more, which I have a little clothes drying rack and different things like that. And I've done that off and on for the years. I even have an indoor clothesline in my basement. But the problem with a Michigan basement, if you know what a Michigan basement is, it's a hand dug out basement that the house sits on. That is all earth. Now, somebody over time has put the walls, was filled in with field stone, and then they did put a concrete floor. So I don't have a dirt cellar type floor, but it really smells of the earth between the rock and, you know, just being a basement. It's a dry basement, thank goodness, but drying clothes down there after a while, if you don't get them up right away, from the basement to the main floor, they kind of get that basement stinky, earthy smell. So I would rather avoid going to the basement at all, which is a old exterior root cellar that they put an addition on over the house. It's wonky. It's 100 years old. And I'm getting the feeling that I would like to leave this old-fashioned wonky house and live in a very sleek and modern type of retirement home. I know, it just totally doesn't fit all of the eclectic old things that I have, because I do have a lot of old things, but I think it could work, the old with the new. I really do. So that's what I've been up to, making progress at an absolute snail's pace on many things. But then you start looking at how it all adds up, including the quilting and things that I've been working on a little bit at a time. So let me tell you what I have been working on. In the quilt department, I have been working on a long-arming quilt that I did as a block of the month. It kind of looks like an Amish-inspired quilt with a black background. It's solid colors, no prints, and the stars are bold jewel-tone colors. Now, I have a lot of memories tied to making this quilt, and I could never finish it because my quilty best friends and I bought this as a block of the month, and one of our friends drove to Mount Pleasant, which is an hour and a half from where I live, and she picked up these kits once a month because that's how she is. And then she moved to Mount Pleasant, and then she drove our quilts blocks up every 6 to 8 weeks, and we had all of our blocks and we sewed them, except the lady who picked them all up, she never did sew them, but my other friend and I did, and I never put them together because the lady who picked them all up, she died, and I had a lot of memories tied to it because we were talking about how we were going to finish it. Were we going to use the finishing they had? We loved the solids. We supported this quilt shop through a lean time in the winter, and I just couldn't finish it. In addition to the fact that they didn't cut the block of the month pieces, they just never cut them big enough to trim down. So some of my points were a little chopped, and I just had all of that baggage with that quilt. But I found the blocks recently. So they've been sitting in my orphan block UFO bin now for a couple years. And my husband asked if I would make a quilt for one of his co-workers who's having a baby. And I found these and I'm like, this is perfect. It's got the black background. I put a really medium gray on the back that reads as a solid. And I chose a bold canary yellow thread, and it really is cute. I just took it off the frame today from long arming it with just my all over swirl signature pattern, and I'm going to bind it in the black Kona, which I have plenty of that, and it's going to be given as a gift before we leave on our little vacation. So that is off the frame. I am so excited, and I pressed the petite four quilt top that I have finished up. That was a quilt along with Fat Quarter Shop using their paper piecing pads. And I love that product so much. And this was a sampler with the directions using their pads and how to lay it out in a really cute quilt. It's a wall hanging size, about 45 inches. I measured it just a minute ago, 45, 46 inches square, with a 2.5 inch border. The blocks are 6 inches. I still have the 4 inch paper piecing pads, and I may make it again in a different colorway. So this is in a beautiful blue and white colorway. I love that classic, but there's something about this quilt that doesn't look old fashioned. Just the way these blocks came together, they're crisp and all the points are there. I just love this. So it has the old meets new vibe that I really like. And it's a block-based quilt, which I enjoy making. And it's on pressed and ready to go on the frame. And I'm going to probably do the same. All over swirls, and I have a gray thread that I'm going to use for that. And then this week, I did sew very small. It is 20 by 25 little St. Patrick's Day wall hanging, like a banner or something to hang on the door at work. And I use Stash Bandit's complimentary pattern called Lucky for the little clover. They're super cute. They're 5 inches. And I use the 24 and 24 heart that I did in green. And I put the heart in the middle and I surrounded it by the little clovers. And it's so cute. So I need to assemble it. And I may machine quilt that on my little Janome. I do have a walking foot. And I thought it just needs nothing fancy. Just a couple of, stitch around the block. And I think it would look great. So I think I may machine it because on the Janome, because it's so small. Kind of like, what's the point in putting that on the long arm, right? I need to learn how to use my Janome for quilting. I've been really wrestling with what to do with my long arm because the frame that I have is becoming a little worn out, and the tracks that the machines sit on, I will run out of what I have, and I don't think I'll be able to buy anymore. I think they discontinued them. So I'm kind of in this quandary. Should I buy another frame? Do I want a 10-foot frame? Do I wait until retirement to see what kind of place that we live in? I don't know that I'll be doing 10 feet of quilting anymore. I don't want to. And should I learn how to do sit-down quilting? It's not my favorite, but standing has become physically not fun. So it's difficult. And I can do it for like 10 minutes at a time. So I've been thinking about that. And I'm wrestling with that because I know at some point the machine will not be able to be floated on the frame. So I don't know. I've talked to the dealer. He says I can upgrade the frame. And then I'll have to have some work done on the machine to retrofit it to a frame. It sounds like it's more money than I really want to invest in it, but I might go with a conversion to a sit-down long arm and pushing the quilt under that big throat space. Thinking about it, I know if any of you have that kind of a setup, let me know how you like it and how difficult it is to go from stand-up long arming to sit-down long arming. I think I can do it. I do have arthritis in my fingers, but I'm starting to get that neck, back, knee pain from standing and, so many decisions, so many things that I find myself thinking about that I really don't need to make a decision about today. Not at all. So I have quilted those items, and I'm also working on a couple of other projects. I've got bitten by the hand sewing bug again. You know, cross stitch, which I'll talk about my progress in that, has really got me interested in doing handwork. And I'm toying with the idea of getting my hexies out again. But I found on my Facebook feed, and I've talked a little bit about it, but I've really started to get into it, is something called slow stitching. Now, back in the day, do you remember the hashtag slow stitching? And that was just like handwork for quilting, hand sewing, hexagons, hand quilting, things like that. Well, there's a movement out there that I have discovered through my Facebook feed. And there's a couple groups. And one that piqued my curiosity was slow stitching with So Salvaged. And I'm like, what does that mean? Well, slow stitching has a lot of upcycling fabrics that from clothes and really drawing from all of the cultures of the world in making different types of patchwork, raw edge. A lot of things have raw edges in torn fabric and making little patches and scraps into larger pieces of fabric. And, you know, they do a lot of embellishments on it with embroidery floss on these pieces that are basted. And I did a running stitch with just regular thread and layered them all up on, some people say that's Cantha style, which is a India-based type of thin quilt with no batting. Well, a lot of Kantha quilts, I think they fold the edges over so there's no raw edges and do just a running stitch like every half inch or so to hold the piece together. They're very beautiful and it's usually made with scraps of fabric that's available, including sari fabric. They're very beautiful. Mine is not, it's all raw edge, so I'm just going to call it like an improv style. It's really fun. And so that led to me finding some YouTubers who gave a little more tutorials and explanations. Some people are into making like almost postcard size little scenes. Some people are into just using earth tones and linen and eco-dyeing or eco-dyeing with plant-based products. So everyone has their own style. Well, I'm a quilter. I have lots of quilting stuff. I know how to do stitches and embroidery. I have that Boro and Shashiko stitch book. So I'm starting with something that K3N Cloth Tales is her YouTube channel. I love her concepts. She's the eco dyeing and really into linens and upcycling clothes and vintage things, and everything is done by hand. So I thought I'd start with, you know, a project that was small, because I tried doing a big square on my Q-snap frame. It was too much and I hated it. It just even starting. So I did what she started out with, a project called Meditation Scrolls. Now they're meditation because it's a meditative process. So I took a piece of muslin and I improvised a whole bunch of little snippets of a handful of fabrics and I basted them. It's probably 5 inches wide by maybe 15 inches long is the strip. And now I'm going through, after I've basted it, you know, with thread and a running stitch, I'm doing the embellishments and I'm practicing different stitches. And I thought I'd go first round with all of this pink Colorworks floss that I bought in Virginia Beach a couple years ago. And I'm loving this, loving it so much. I found a couple of wooden spools, and how Catherine put hers as scrolls and rolled them around wooden spools. Well, Kimberly Jolly is really into doing that with little strips of cross stitch too. And I just love this idea. So my mom found a bunch of wooden spools, and then she found two like really large bobbin, wooden bobbin. They're almost like stakes or pins. And I thought they would be perfect for rolling a whole bunch of meditation scrolls on it. And Catherine of the K3N Cloth Tales, she made what's called rice bags. So I made a rice bag using her instructions. However, I did not hand stitch my rice bag together because my hand sewing is not what I would call great. And I don't particularly enjoy that part of the meditative process. I like the creative process of, you know, just being inspired by the little snippet of fabric that you're looking at and making some sort of stitch on it. And so this rice bag is actually has another name. A lot of people, if you look them up, there are lots of tutorials out there called Japanese rice bags, or they're called Kemoke Bukuro bags. And I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that right. And these bags were special bags that were used to transport rice and other offerings to the temple as you went to the temples and shrines. And I thought, wouldn't this be great? Just like Catherine is how she pronounces her name. She lives abroad. And she put her meditation scrolls inside the rice bag. So my thought was, I'm taking this bag. It's just basically a square, and I did put some batting in between the lining of the bag and the outside. And on the inside, it's quilted. But I thought on the outside, I hid the quilting just on the batting and the lining, which is a bright red. Then you put four tabs and you run a cord through it. She twines her cord with scrap fabric, but I happen to have a macrame cord that fit. And on the outside, it's a green and white wood print. It looks like wood grain. And I put a little pocket. So I thought, I'll put some hand stitching on my rice bag for hand-stitched meditation scrolls at some point, but I wanted it to be sturdy. And this was just a prototype run, and how simple. And I love the drawstring part because you don't have to put a zipper on it, even though I have zippers, and one day I'm going to conquer that and make zippered pouches. But today, I'm making rice bags. And I made one so far, but I thought, how fun. You could put a couple little to-go projects, or maybe your makeup if you're traveling, or medication in a little bag. If you're like me, you need five little bags for your medication. So I have been working on the slow stitching. It's so slow, and I've been working on it every evening, and I've just been bitten by the bug. Now, cross-stitch-wise, I did stitch card N, which is a Lori Holt stitch card, and I did stitch the gnome. It's a four-piece card, and the piece of Aida cloth I have, it will be a 2x2 layout. And there's a gnome, and there's a flower, a tulip, and I can't remember the other two spring-themed items on there, but it'll be so cute. So I haven't done any more cross stitch this week, but what I did was take a couple of the pieces that I have stitched and finished them. So I did get that paddle from Hobby Lobby. I used a milk paint, and then I put a real thin layer of white. You can still see the wood grain a little bit. I want it to look a little more rustic. I'm going to hang it on the wall. It's very thin. It's probably 3.5 inches wide, and I put the Lori Holt stitchy stars. I wrapped it around foam core board, and I have neodymium magnets that I did find finally on my third trip to Hobby Lobby. Now I just need to glue washers to the back of the stitch project so I can change it out with the seasons. Many of Lori Holt's pieces, you can stitch them in a strip and they're the same width, so they'll fit this board really nicely. I have a couple of other things that would be fun to put on that and just change it out periodically with the seasons or with whims, right? Just changing it out. Now, the other thing I did was I found a couple of old frames last year. I think I got them at Walmart. They're also painted white. They're deep. They have glass in them, and on the glass at the very bottom, they have some pink and blue flowers. It may not be your style, but I thought it was cute, and you could take the back off, which had a saying about families, and I cut the foam core to fit inside, and I wrapped my key that I stitched. It was a freebie, and I put that in there, and it's just a very large space of white around the key, and then I fit it in the frame just right so the flowers go underneath it. It's perfect. It's like a 4x4 frame, and I've got two pieces that are going to go on my wall in that. So the key is in one, and the other one, it is a cut once and stitch or something like that, and it's a cross stitch themed little. That was another freebie. I think it was Wild Olive, I think, did those. I don't remember. I did talk about them and put a link in on my blog at one point, but I probably won't remember to put them in the show notes. But if you have an inkling to do freebies like that, all you have to do is Google it, and you'll find a lot of these really cute freebies like this out there, and they just make cute little small things that are really adorable to be framed. So I did those two fully finished projects for my cross stitching. That's the part I find the hardest. I can stitch those little pieces all day or even do a sampler, but framing it and all of that business is not my thing. I did find the framing department, and I may take the Christmas one in. I'm going to ask them how much it would be if they could frame that. They had some really nice frames, and if it's not too expensive, I will have that one professionally done because it's super cute. However, if they want an arm and a leg, and I am really cheap, I probably will do it myself. So that is the update on cross-stitching. I have also done one paper piecing block, and I thought I would talk about it because this was a fun little challenge. So there was a freebie out there by Christy Lee of Quiet Play Patterns. She did get to know her, and she gave you some tutorials on this retro TV with rabbit ears. And her freebie was a 4-inch tiny TV. Yeah, the whole TV is 4 inches. It's super cute. Now, I've made one. And the other key to this is fussy cutting your scraps to go inside, like, the TV screen area. And you can buy bigger size TVs. And she has lots of patterns. She is, like, the paper piecing queen. You may know her from Make Modern Magazine. I believe she lives in Australia. And love her stuff. She has a lot of tutorials on how to do paper piecing. So I want to make more because I did this small TV on copy paper. Yeah, you can hear me rustling it. The copy paper is too thick to use for this tiny of a block, but I did one because I don't have any more paper piecing pattern paper and I need to order it. But it's great. It's a good, I mean, there's nothing with her patterns that you can complain about. They're just very well done, well tested, and they turn out exactly like she presents them. I mean, I've had some where you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a teeny block with 17 segments that are paper pieced, and then you got to sew those together. And that's my Dear Jane experience, and that's why I quit doing it. I'm gonna just end that into the baby Jane that I have eventually. Again, I have a lot of feelings wrapped up with that, and it's not perfect, but one day I will finish it and I will keep it. So the tiny TVs, they are so much fun. I don't know if you can get them for free anymore through her website on Instagram. There's links to it. But if you're interested and like it, her patterns are in Australian money and are quite reasonable to buy. But I am all about being on social media just enough to see what everybody's doing. And when they offer freebies, then I'm going to do the freebie. Because, like I said, I like, maybe I'm not cheap, let's call it, I am frugal. And why spend money when you don't have to? So last year, I did a freebie that was an online weekly forum. And I love doing these because you get 1 week of, like, jam-packed full of speakers. And they show a video, and it's on the theme for 24 hours, and then it's taken down. And to be able to see these for a lifetime and go back and take notes, you have to buy the VIP package. I've done this for Cricut and learned a lot about Cricut stuff, get the freebies, and then it's gone. And the whole point of they're like 5-day events is that you can't watch all of them. You can watch some of them. And my little trick is I watch them on 2x the speed because they are on private YouTube usually or some sort of video hosting site. And then if it's somebody with a topic that you really like, you can slow it down and digest it slower. Or if you're like, nah, this isn't something I really want to listen to a 45-minute presentation on, I don't listen. Well, last year's was a forum for home organization. And a lady named Susie has a blog. Yes, she still blogs. I love it. And she does a lot of newsletters. But her thing is how she got into home organization, reorganization, and getting into all of that stuff as an empty nester. And she is like Diane in Denmark, only she is from the United States, and she blogs. She still does some things on YouTube, but she is part of a Nest Insights Forum 2024. She's speaking, and it starts next week on Monday, March 18th. So by the time I get this posted, you may have time to hurry up and participate. But I'm very excited because it is a forum dedicated to empowering empty nesters to embrace and thrive in the empty nest season of life. And I'm kind of interested in it. It's all about finding your purpose and finding yourself. And the thing about Susie is she's great because she talks about fashion, makeup, home decor, hopping into spring. She's got tons of links and all kinds of stuff. She is what we would call an influencer, but I love her newsletter, and it still reminds me that people blog still, as do I. So I'm going to link my Saturday morning coffee today to the show notes, because I talk a little bit about the picture in pictures of the things I've been working on and what my ramblings are every Saturday about incrementalism was this week too. And I will put that in the show notes, as well as some links to the things that I've talked about. So I want to thank you for listening and for joining me as I chat about a little bit about my life's journey and things that I'm working on. You can support the podcast by commenting and sharing. And I also have Ko-fi, ko-fi.com. You can buy me a virtual cup of coffee. And you can also find all of these links in the show notes at mycreativecorner3.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a most wonderful week.